The interview is taking place in Clemson, South Carolina on August 15, 1988, and the interviewer is W.J. Meginson. Could I ask your name, please?
My name?
Yes.
My name is Lucindy Reed Brown. I was Reed, then I married a Brown.
And may I ask how old are you?
Huh?
May I ask how old you are?
98 years old.
It's a long time.
You think you'll make it?
I hope so.
Oh.
Where were you born?
Well, now, I'll tell you. I was born between here and Central. It was in the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that after the war, the people had nothing but little sharecroppers, you know, in the South. And I was born between here and Central. And I don't think it had no... and they didn't... Of course, back then, they didn't register children. And when I got to get my age, I had to send to Washington for the census department, you see, because I was 10 years old when they began to take census in the South.
And were you born at your mother's home?
Yes. Well, where else? There weren't any hospitals or anything around. This was nothing but the country, but a few little farms, you know. Of course, the ground was shale.
So you've been here just about as long as the town and the college.
Huh?
You have been here about as long as the town and the college.
Yes.
When you were born, did your mother have a doctor or a midwife?
I don't remember. I know it was a midwife, but I don't remember. I don't know.
Was it usual then for women to have doctors attend their births?
They didn't. There weren't but a few doctors around in different places. I remember the first doctor came to this place, and the house is right where Dr. Hines lived when he came. The house is right behind. Right on that side of Boggs' store, down in Calhoun. It was Calhoun then.
So Dr. Hines was the first doctor
around. Dr. Hines was the first doctor.
Where was his, did he have his practice in his house?
No, he was, you know, they went to your homes then. But I don't know, but I know Dr. Hines because he used to come, but he was our doctor. And then he left Calhoun and went to Seneca, and I think he died in Seneca.
Did someone else come when he left?
No. No. Of course, the university had a doctor. This is a college then. The university had a doctor. And that first doctor I remember Clemson at the university had was Dr. Redfern.
Did you ever go to him?
Oh, yes. I knew Dr. Redfern personally, and he'd come to our house. You see, the doctors then would come to your house. And the later years, we had a doctor here named Dr. Watkins. They called him Dr. Billy. He was a great friend to poor people. You know, but he came in his car then. They had cars then, when I remember Dr. Watkins.
Which of these did you like the best?
What's that?
Which of these did you like the best?
You know, I liked them all, but I liked Dr. Watkins because I knew him. And then I'm going to tell you, Dr. Watkins knew my husband's people. He married my mother-in-law's slave master's daughter, and they knew him well.
You mentioned your parents. What were your parents' names?
My mother was named Polly Reed, and my father was named A.B. Reed, Alfred Butler Reed.
Okay, let's talk about him a little bit later. But tell me first, if you will, about your grandfather, Isaac Brown.
Yeah, Isaac Butler.
Isaac Butler.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Well, I told you he was a slave to John C. And after the freedom, they had to get out and get what they could, you see. And, of course, these big plantations had to be, well, the South was ruined when after the war. I mean, it was poor as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And these old people had to try to get on sharecrops where they could, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, then after he left Calhoun, he went up about central and around in that settlement, and he lived on different people's farms, you see.
Did you know your grandfather?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I knew him well. He was a Dale. And in his later years, after my grandmother died, he lived with us, with my mother and my dad. And he was a Dale.
What did he tell you about slave days?
He never told us nothing about, now I wished that I had learned more, but I was young and wasn't interested in. But he told us that John C. was a good master. He wasn't a cruel one. You know, a lot of the slaves, and not even the masters, but they had these things they called patterals and all those kind of things. They were more cruel than the families, you see. And he never told us nothing about John C. being too cruel or nothing like that.
You ever heard of a man by the name of James Crawford?
What?
James Crawford.
Yes, I did. He had a little house between the, now it used to be nothing but the depot,
mm-hmm.
between the depot and the university. This old house was sitting on this side of the highway. And it hadn't been too many years torn down, but it was there.
Was that anywhere near where the Winn-Dixie is now?
What?
Was that anywhere near where the Winn-Dixie is now?
It's on the other side, right on the other side. Now, not Winn-Dixie down on the highway now, but Winn-Dixie was pushed right where the theater is now.
Yes.
And there's that Crawford's house was right across the road from over on that other side. It was nothing there, but down there where the theater is was a spring, and they used to call it the Cold Waters. And when I remember, my mother knew the Crawfords. She talked about them. And then when D.D. Sloan came from Greenville and put up the first store in Clemson, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was D.D. Sloan and son, and we were great. We knew the Sloans real well, but all of them are gone now. When I go to the Holiday Inn for lunch and meals, I meet one of them's wives, and she told me that not any of them living now, but just none of the sons are living, none of that original family. But I knew D.D. Sloan's, all of them.
You told me about when the Sloan store first opened.
What?
You have told me before about when the Sloan store first opened.
Yes.
What was it originally built to be?
What?
What was the building originally put up for?
Well, they built it, the old Sloan store across the street there. Now, it's a larger place. I knew Winslow, that was Mr. Sloan's son. And he had a brother named Joe, and Joe died. This is the way the tale goes. They ran a drugstore in Greenville, and they say he walked over here when this college first opened. Said this old man walked from Greenville and said it took him 2 days, and came over there and he put up a store. And well, I know this to be a fact, that the sons began to get that dope, you know, because they ran a drugstore. And they began to, you know, get all mixed up with that. So he left the store, and they owned all of this place. They owned that old Crawford place. They owned that. They used to live there when they first, in the old house when they first came. But afterwards, they built a house different.
Where was their new house?
Up, right up, let me, I can, but it was close to the Clemson house. The Sloans owned all of that except what the college owned, and they came right up to the line. And now they have sold the old Sloan's house, and the college has put, I think, it says apartments over there where it was, but it's right close, you can see it. And you know, I don't know whether you know where the trustees building is or not at Clemson.
Yes.
Well, the Sloan's house was right back of that, right there close, right back. I think the trustees house owns all the Sloan's land. They owned all of that. They owned originally. They just, but of course they sold. And the Sloans married a lady named Pole. And Mr. Pole seemed to me was a very wealthy man. And that's why they came in, you know, inherited some of the things.
Apparently the old Crawford estate had been a Calhoun plantation adjacent to Fort Hill.
All of that belonged to the to Calhoun. You see, after the war, the land was shared, but who was going to work it? The slaves was free, and truly, the masters didn't have money. The South was rich when after the war. They were just poor. They had nothing. But some people with more sense, like old man Aaron Boggs and them, they were overseers and things then. And they had sense enough, you know, try to get something, and they did. Well, of course, they bought it. And lots of that, the place where, right over there where that study hall is at Clemson now, I remember when cotton was growing there. It belonged to old man Boggs, and he had a colored family lived down on a little house down there, and that was cotton growing all around there. But now, I was asking the other day, I don't have any cotton.
Well, not much is left, is there?
Huh?
Not much cotton is left, is there?
That's certainly. You know, it's remarkable to me how things change. And I'm glad they change. Now, but, then the families that had, people that had big families, children could pick cotton and do. But now, those things have changed, don't you see? You don't see that.
Tell me about your grandmother.
Well, I had a grandmother who was a Dale. But her name was Amy Butler. But they were real, my grandfather and grandmother both came from Africa. They weren't American born, but their children were born in America. They came over as slaves from Africa. And my grandmother was, I don't know, we didn't go there much, but I remember going to see her, you know, at different times after she got older. And they lived a long time, both of them. But my grandmother died before my grandfather died. And she was a Dale.
Where was your grandmother when she was a slave?
She was a slave across the river. Over there, the old house burned down. And her boss was named John Hewen, and my grandfather belonged to Dr. John C. And they would give them permission to marry, you know. But the children all had to stay with the mothers, you see. Mm-hmm. And that's where my grandmother's children all were born. Now, she had one child. It was born the same year of freedom. All the rest of her children were born slaves. But this aunt was born after freedom, the same year freedom came.
So your grandfather at least could go back and forth and visit her?
Oh, yes. They'd have to get a permission, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told you about him. And I was telling lots of these things are hard to believe, but they went on. Now, he said that river froze cross. You know, there's two rivers run together down there. One was, this one over this side was 12 miles, and the one coming down this way was Seneca Rivers, and they ran together right there at the trestle, where that railroad trestle is.
Yes.
You can see. And he said he'd be, when he'd go to see his family, He'd be coming at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to John C's to make fries and do the things, you know. And he said he walked across that river on ice and said lots of times he'd make a little hole and get and be warm, water be warm under the ice, and wash his face and go and all that 4 o'clock in the morning. But now, you know, it's hard to believe that river froze cold. But he said that river was froze cold. He walked across that river frozen.
That must have been a very hard life with his wife and children several miles away.
It was all a hard life, but what did they know but a hard life? They didn't know any difference but a hard life. They just had what, you know, they just, that was the way they lived. But that was, it went on, and they survived some way. But they did. And these children now are not, they don't know what a blessing it is for them. Because they go when they want and come when they want and do all these things. You see, they couldn't do that. And they just don't know. And some of them still have prejudices. But I don't have prejudices. I just don't. Because I have some dear white friends. My friends come to see me, and after my husband passed, I was hip, and all my children married. All of my children married. Now, this daughter her home's in Seneca, but her husband died too, and she has just two children. One of her daughters is secretary in Washington, D.C., and the son works at the university. And she just, since I've been down, I mean, like I can't do, she just comes here. And most of the things I need somebody to stay at night, you know, because I don't see well how to dial the telephone and things like that. So she just stays here, you know, with me and do. And I have some very dear friends, I raised a child. I took him when he was 2 weeks old. My husband had died. And she's my youngest. She got married. And I went and lived with these people in Georgia. And it was just the joy of my life. It was just another life for me. And I took this little boy when he was 2 weeks old. His wife, the man's education was interrupted because of doing the war, and he was going back to school and she was working. And when they got married, they had this little boy, and I took him. And he's just like my son. And he's a doctor. He's a surgeon in Texas. He's in the hospital where Kennedy died. And I'm very proud of him. I saw him graduate 3 times. I saw him graduate from high school, and I saw him graduate from Davidson College in North Carolina, and I saw him graduate at Emory when he came out with his degree, his doctor's degree. And they are very nice to me. And his father, after his mother died, he always calls me second mother, and after his mother died, his father just said, he said, people asked, say, what's Cindy gonna do? When his wife died, he said, well, it's left to her. He told me right before my son and his wife, he said, now, if you want to stay on, he said, I'll just keep this house. I said, you mean you'd keep this big house? He said, yes, if you say so. But I had my own house, at my age, I knew I would have, you know, sooner or later, because what could I do now? But he has not forgotten me. He calls me every Sunday morning to see if I need anything. And I'm just telling you, he deposits something to my account every month. And I think that's wonderful. And I have some dear friends. I had a young lady came to see me, and I told her, I said, y'all are all of my children, and they are. They're just nice to me. I can't have prejudices, because I just can't. I'm just that way, because they're just as good, nice to me as they can be. And this young boy that I think he's 30. I think he's about 36, and he never has married. And he always, when he comes, he always brings his girlfriend, brings them to see me, and take pictures of me with him. And those are the ones who put the fountain at the church in my home. And they just as nice to me, and as close as father's not well. But I want him to outlive me, because he takes care of all my finances. And that's big help. I mean, you know, when I was fixing to come home, when I had to give up, I said, it'd be so much for me to move my addresses, you know, from all my business went come to me there, you see. So he said, no. He said, don't do that. He said, whatever his secretary name says, she's on the payroll, says she'll just take care. And that's a big help to me. So I do that. I mean, that's the way I live.
Well, you mentioned your father, A.B. Reed.
Oh.
You mentioned your father, A.B. Reed.
Yeah.
What was his whole name?
Alfred Butler Reed.
And he was born?
One of his great-grandsons asked me the other day. He said, I want to know who Butler Reed's father was. I said, well, now, I'm going to tell you. I said, you have asked me. But I knew my grandmother, his mother. Her name was Easter Reed. She was not married. And those children of hers was her master's children. Mm-hmm. But she never married. She never married at all. And she just raised her children.
Who was her master?
I don't know. It was somebody in Oconee County, but I don't know. But it was over there in Oconee County. See, we're in Pickens County, you know.
Well, tell me about Esther Reed.
Easter. We called her Easter. She was a midwife and was a dear woman too, But she never was married. She was just a Easter Reed all the time. And you know, she lived. I don't know how old she was. And I'm sorry. I wished I had found about her age. But she lived a long time. And she was a Dell. And she was as smart as she could be. But she said she never married anybody because she had those children, said, and she just raised them, as I said. And that's what the way it was. So I don't know. But I heard somebody say that her master was some kin to some, there used to be a lawyer in Walhalla called Lawyer James. And this guy, if she was some kin to Lawyer James, then I don't know. But it's in Oconee County, over by Walhalla where there was and around old Vandy country, you know.
According to the census records, Esther Reed was born in 1835.
Now, and what would that mean?
Well, how long did she live?
I tell you, I don't know. She lived and lived. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Well, I was surprised when the census, you knew her. You got that from the census?
Yes, I did.
And she was born in what?
1835.
And that would have made for what?
When? But it only gave her birth date, not when she died.
Oh, well, I don't know. But she lived a long time. Because my third child was 6 months old when she died. And he's 70-something now. He's 71 or 72 now. And I don't know when he was 6 months old when she died.
So she must have lived to be about 70.
I think she was older than that. I don't know, but I really just don't know. And I'm sorry I just didn't ask those, but I wasn't interested. Oh, I had my hands too full trying to raise my own children.
Well, tell us more about your father.
I don't know that much about him except, well, I'm going to tell you. He was a real smart business person. I mean, he had a business head. And my mother said he went to school after freedom, after he was grown, you know, after they began to have freedom, I mean school, you know. So I don't know that much about him, but I know he had a good business head, I know that. And he farmed, and then he had a little store and things like that. He was like industrial, you know.
Where was this store?
Right across from the church. Right across from the church over there. He owned that right across from the church.
Now, which church is that? Abel?
My church, right over
across. Golden View.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it still there?
Oh, I don't know. After he died, I think the old store went down. And I don't know. But no, it's not there. But that's where it still was.
What size store was it?
What's that?
What size store was it?
Oh, just a little store with little things in it, you know. Just grocery store.
Well, he also owned his own home.
Huh?
He also owned his own land, I believe.
Yes, he did.
And owned some other pieces of property.
Yeah.
So he must have been a very important member of the community.
Well, I tell you, I was surprised. I saw, you know, Evil Payne?
Yes.
Me and Evil was in a store. And I've known them all my life, because even Gresham, I said, Gresham, her sister was my age. And Evil said to this man, she says, oh, this is one of Butler Reed's daughters. She says, well, I like to fell off my feet. I didn't know. But that's the way it was. There used to be a something on the radio when he said, and that was what it used, that's what it used to be. My grandfather made baskets. You know, I don't know whether you ever seen out of white oak. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't know except for him telling me what white difference in the trees. But they had the white oak that was cut to splits and make baskets and things like that. In his old age, he'd sit under the trees and make baskets.
Well, the old baskets are very much valued these days. The old baskets are very much valued
these
days.
I know they are.
And I bet you threw all of his away.
Yeah, that's the truth. They used to have things they called clothes baskets, you know, to put the laundry in. Mm-hmm. And he'd make those kind of baskets, too. But I haven't seen one in a long time. And you see, they had cotton baskets, what they put the cotton in, and the fields when they picked it, and they'd empty it in the basket, and those kind of baskets he made out of these. And then they were that real valuable, because they made bottoms for chairs. You know, bottom chairs. He could bottom chairs and do those. They could do a lot of things. Well, of course, they were taught to do these things. They could do a lot of things like that.